Hello, this is Mary Mortland reading the News Gazette Part 1 for Thursday, March 12, 2026. On the front page of the News Gazette is a photograph with the headline, Let Games Begin, and the caption, Tyler Bishop, event program lead for Dick's House of Sport, unpacks a Papa Shot game Wednesday to build in preparation for the state IHSA basketball tournament finals, which begin today at State Farm Center in Champaign. Bob Asmussen's column, Making New Memories. Lawrenceville motivated to bring home its first state title in 30 years. They love their basketball in this city of 4,400. Always have, always will. Oh sure, winning four state titles in the 1970s and 80s helps hype the hoops hysteria. And so do the legends of Coach Ron Felling and Marty the Mule Simmons, a star on the undefeated 1982 and 83 title teams. Basketball is part of what makes Lawrenceville special. The first trip to the state tournament came more than a century ago in 1917. 15 years later, Lawrenceville finished third in 32. 40 years after that, the school won its first title under Felling, beating Mounds Meridian 63-57 in the final. 2 years later, Lawrenceville won again, edging Ottawa Marquette 54-53 to cap a 30-3 title season. There have been some challenges in Lawrenceville since the glory days. The refinery operated by Standard Oil permanently closed in 1995, and one of the bigger employees in the community recently stepped away. But the city is bouncing back, and high school basketball is a big part of the rejuvenation. Lawrenceville's boys team beat Leroy 48-26 at Monday's Class 1A Charleston Super Sectional on the Eastern Illinois University campus. The Indians, 34-2 this season, travel to Champaign-Urbana for a state semifinal against Gorville at 10 a.m. Thursday at State Farm Center. The winner advances to Saturday's title game at 10 a.m. Lawrenceville has plenty of motivation, and not just because it's the school's first trip to state in 30 years. First, the team gets a second shot at Gorville, which beat Lawrenceville 50-45 on February 7th. The Indians are also playing for teammate Aiden Winningham, who is recovering in an Indianapolis hospital after a recent serious car accident. Aiden is the team's sixth man. The Lawrenceville players held his number zero jersey during team pictures after the Super Sectional victory. Welcome back. When Lawrenceville was winning all those state titles in CU, the host gym was known as the Assembly Hall. Ask your parents. A large block of supporters will make the 126-mile drive to the arena on Thursday, including Mayor David Courtney, the 69-year-old who wouldn't miss it. Everybody's really euphoric getting on board with our team, his honor said. Just riding the wave. We've got a great group of kids, a great coach, a great leader for these kids. It's just been fun. Courtney was at Lawrenceville High during the first state title and made the trips then to the University of Illinois campus. He appreciates the latest basketball surge. It's been so long since we were this relevant in high school basketball. Courtney said, we're celebrating. The Lawrenceville fans were hopeful going into the season. I think we've known for a while this was a special team, Courtney said. Building blocks. The good people of Lawrenceville have seen the current team grow under the guidance of Coach Tad Schick. Three players average in double figures, led by Noah Wilson, Jaden Goff, and Xander Cessna. Last season, the Indians reached the sectional semifinal before dropping a close decision. Lessons learned. Matt Pargan watched the team up close in recent seasons. His son Maddox was a starter on the 24-25 team. Basketball is a family activity, Maddox's sister Tenley sang the national anthem before the games. We've had a really good run, Pargan said. He won 83 games as a starter. He played with all these guys. The current seniors have been together since second grade. They were always little, I thought, growing up, Pargan said. They were fundamental and knew how to play together. All of a sudden, they weren't little. Now they are 6'5", 6'4", they've really grown up a lot. And they can all jump 60 dunks and counting. Pargan, now a financial advisor, has spent most of his 48 years in Lawrenceville. He did leave town to earn a degree from the University of Illinois in finance in 2001 and earned his aviation certificates. Growing up in Lawrenceville, Pargan often had a family member to root for on the Indians basketball team. His uncle Jeff Gehr was a starter on the 1982-83 title teams. His stepdad, Brian Cochran, was on the teams, too. Pargan is a big fan of Schick, a former Lawrenceville player. He's a ridiculously good coach, Pargan said. He cries after every game. He's so emotional about it. He's the heart and soul of this thing. The team is strong defensively, using its length and athleticism to stymie opponents. The team was undefeated at home. The only two losses were to other state qualifiers, Gorville and Unity. Pargan attended the super sectional game in Charleston and saw Simmons, now the coach at Eastern Illinois. Lawrenceville used the Panthers' locker room. Helps to know people. Pargan has seen the community rally around the team. The whole town is wound up, he said. Stomping grounds, John Supine plans to make the trip Thursday from his new old hometown. The 1980 Lawrenceville High graduate went on to a career as a sports writer, including a long run covering U of I sports for newspapers in Springfield and Peoria. Retired from the business for 14 years, Supine, 63, now works for the city of Lawrenceville. He moved back to his hometown in 2018. He remembers what it was like during the glory days and can compare it to modern times. Not much has changed in the stands. Lawrenceville basketball is still a very prideful thing around here, Supine said. Everybody still loves it. Back in the day, everyone had a hoop in the driveway and flocked to the games. It was always fun to tell people when you were away from home that you're from Lawrenceville because half the time they recognized the name, Supine said. The new high school was built in 2013 and includes a gym that seats 4,000. When the team is good, like the past half decade, the stands are crowded. It's still the place to be on Friday night, Supine said. Painting the hall maroon. Student tickets swiftly sell out for Unity's run at title. Tolono Unit 7 classes, along with the pep rally for the boys' basketball team, might have been called off Wednesday due to power outages, but Unity High was still the place to be that morning for students hoping to cheer on the Rockets. Student tickets for the IHSA boys' basketball tournament went on sale at the high school office at 8 a.m. and sold out by 9:55 a.m., according to the athletic department's Facebook page. Unit 7 Superintendent Brian Brink said it's his understanding that Unity was allotted about 150 student tickets total that cover both games we would play in the state finals. There has been a lot of excitement and buzz in our schools and throughout the community, he said. Our students, staff, families, and community members are incredibly proud of what this team has accomplished. It's been great to see everyone rally around the players and coaches as they prepare for the state semifinals. Unity is set to play Peoria Emanuel at 2:30 p.m. in today's semifinals at the State Farm Center. Their winner will play in the championship game at 11:45 a.m. Saturday, while the loser will play the third place at 8:45 tonight. Of course, it's no coincidence that the Unit 7 schools have an early dismissal today, Brink said. The district wanted as much maroon in the State Farm Center as possible. Overall, it's just an awesome moment for our school community, he said. Our players and coaches have represented Unity extremely well, and everyone is excited to see them compete at the state stage. It's been great to see the pride and support building across the district. A pep rally had previously been scheduled for Wednesday afternoon, but was called off due to classes being canceled. We will honor the team at the conclusion of the tourney, the athletics department wrote in a Facebook post. Wednesday's power outages were limited to Unity West Elementary and the district's bus barn, with Brink stating that the latter facility is critical to our transportation operations. Without power, we were unable to safely dispatch and communicate with our buses, he said. Power was restored shortly after 7:30 a.m., but by that point we had already made the decision to cancel school. Because many of our students rely on district transportation, the outage at the bus facility created too much uncertainty to operate school safely this morning. The district did not implement e-learning due to concerns over other outages within the area, he added. Champaign County Community Coalition, mental health co-responders to deploy this year. 9/11 Center to dispatch team to scenes as appropriate. Champaign's new mental health co-responders are expected to deploy this spring or early summer, says Regina Parnell, the clinical manager over the city's Mental Health Emergency Response Division within the Equity and Engagement Department. We have really been working hard behind the scenes to make sure that this is something that will be beneficial to the community, to the fire, to the police, but mainly to our community, to make sure that when we're on scene, that we're providing them the best possible care that we can to give them, to help them and not hinder them. Parnell said during a Champaign County Community Coalition meeting, which was held at the Holiday Inn Conference Center on Wednesday afternoon. During her presentation, Parnell introduced herself and a team of four co-responders to a room full of about 100 people from different community sections and organizations. She explained that police officers focus on the safety of the scene, while the fire department addresses fire and medical needs. Her team's role will be to lead crisis assessments and help connect individuals with the appropriate resources. We will respond at the same time as police and fire, Parnell said. We will be dispatched by 911 Center. We will not just show up on the scene. If the dispatch does not dispatch us out, you will not see us, but if fire and police feel like they need us, then we will show up. Parnell said that the team accompanied the police on some soft calls for mental health incidents this past weekend, and each member is getting 2 hours of on-scene training. When asked if there might be instances where co-responders address a call without police or fire personnel being there, she replied that it's a possibility. We've been working with the homeless, Parnell said, as an example, adding that the team was able to help one unhoused man reconnect with his family. And we have another IHSA basketball story. It begins with a photo showing the Eastland players, coaches, and family members, along with Mary Henson. Eastland's number one fan, Henson, back again. Mary Henson is making sure her hometown Eastland Cougars are enjoying their stay during the IHSA boys basketball state tournament again. On Wednesday night, she treated players and coaches to dinner at the Ribeye in Champaign, a favorite stop for Mary and her late husband, Hall of Famer Lou Henson, the winningest coach in Illini history. Last year, Mary also sprang for dinner and invited the team to her home. Mary was homecoming queen at Lanark High School, now Eastland, and still has many friends in town, population 1,466. Eastland plays Marshall in Thursday's Class 1A semifinal at 11:45 a.m. on Lou Henson Court at State Farm Center. As heard on News Gazette Radio, in the 25 editions of Eberfest, 326 films have been shown on the big screen at the Virginia Theater. Oscar winners and overlooked gems, silent movies and science fiction, musicals and murder mysteries. But not among them, the high school basketball documentary made by a Champaign native and Uni High grad that Roger Ebert himself described as one of the great movie-going experiences of my lifetime. To be honest, it was really disappointing to me that over all the years that Eberfest existed, I was never invited back to my old hometown, Hoop Dreams co-maker Frederick Marks said Wednesday on News Gazette Radio, powered by GTPS Insurance. I used to go to the Virginia Theater as a kid all the time and see movies. What can I say? It's an ouch that I never got to come back and screen my films there. Kudos to Champaign Police Lieutenant Caitlin Fisher, named Wednesday as recipient of the Illinois JC's Outstanding Young Person Award in recognition of her leadership, service, and commitment to public safety. On Wednesday's show, Fisher shared how she came to choose a male-dominated profession for a career. I've always thought law enforcement was super cool. Obviously, they glamorize it a little bit more on TV than what really is, but I always thought it was so neat. Every aspect of it, from crime scenes to the whodunit of investigators. But I never really put myself in that box. It was my big brother who gave me that push off the ledge and said, let's go. That could be your calling, so let's do it. One thing former Illini guard Richard Keene has come to realize the past few years, it's a lot easier playing than being a parent. He checked in from Las Vegas, where senior Ron RJ's Boise State team was set to open the Mountain West Conference tournament. This 3 days after watching freshman son Howie's Montana State Bobcats fall at the Big Sky tournament in Idaho. November was an even busier travel month for Keene and wife Sarah, with daughter Sophia wrapping up her own Division I career, playing volleyball at Loyola Marymount. We live in Houston, so I've got one in Bozeman, Boise, and L.A., Keene said. That made it challenging, but it's been awesome, fun, stressful, and wild. Notes from the newsroom. Oh, I should say this is top of the morning, something to get you going today, courtesy of Vice President Jim Rosso. Notes from the newsroom. His duties at the Big Ten tournament in Chicago will prevent Unity grad Brian Barnhart from cheering on the Rockets in person at today's IHSA Boys Basketball State Tournament. On Wednesday, the Penny host and Lee Hall talked hoops with Unity twins Tyler and Braden Henry on WDWS. Barnhart's pulling hard for his alma mater to win its first state title. In his senior year, the 82 Rockets came close, losing a Class A super sectional title to Stonington 56-54. Our month-long countdown to Selection Sunday on News Gazette Radio, powered by GTPS Insurance, wraps up today with a look back at the 2005 High Big Ten title win against Wisconsin. Each show, producer Ed Bond has scoured activities, archives, for iconic radio calls of memorable Illini games, and what's turned out to be an entertaining listen. Teacher of the Week, Kevin Frederick, first grade, Southside Elementary School, Champaign. Unafraid to act up in class. Whether he's engaging his students with silliness or making sure every student sees themselves reflected in his teaching, Southside Elementary School, Kevin Frederick, works hard to build strong connections with them. The former social worker is in his second year at Southside after spending 4 years at Dr. Howard Elementary School and 8 years at Booker T. Washington STEM Academy. I find my work important because I am able to provide my students with a safe, joyful, and motivated learning environment. I hope to help students grow into their space in the world and develop foundational skills and social-emotional skills that will prepare them for real-world challenges. I became a teacher because an early love of reading was fostered by my mom. She showed me how joyful the act of reading can be. I was inspired to share that same experience with young readers. I was also inspired by the work I was doing as a social worker and saw the importance of becoming an advocate for students who may be marginalized, underrepresented, or undersupported. My favorite or most unique lesson that I teach is Riding with Mr. Mouse. Recently, me and my grade partner, Dominic McCarter, created activities to increase engagement and risk-taking in riding. Our classrooms were visited by the mischievous Mr. Mouse, who wrote notes to the students, played pranks on the teachers, and provided incentive to the students to increase their interest in riding the process. Needless to say, he is more popular than me. My most fulfilling moments on the job are when my students show pride in themselves and their growth. Kindness, joy, and laughter are key components of my best moments in teaching. When the tough student smiles, or when I can talk students through something hard they are going through, it makes all the aspects of teaching that are frustrating or draining worth it. I keep students engaged by being a goofball. Puppets, humor, silly voices, games, you name it, and I have tried it. I believe in leveraging my students' interest. If it makes them smile, they are locked in. I also try to form strong, positive relationships with them so they feel comfortable being risk takers and engaging in harder tasks. Something else I'm passionate about is culturally responsive teaching practices and the importance of explicit and intentional social-emotional learning in the classroom. I believe every student should be reflected in the learning process, and they are celebrated and supported for who they are and the stories they bring. I also believe that students should be taught and have time to practice tools and strategies to help them to navigate their world and identify and regulate their emotions. My favorite teacher and subject to study in school was Mrs. Mary Muller, second grade at Garden Hills Elementary, and Mr. Scott Davis at Central High School. They allowed me to be myself, taught me that I mattered and that I could be good at something. They were kind, caring, and had high expectations for me. They helped me discover my love of social studies and reading. If I weren't a teacher, I would be a Muppeteer, but more realistically, a social worker. Severe weather. Tornadoes killed 2 in Indiana, razed buildings in Kankakee. Major storms whipped up tornadoes that killed at least 2 people in northwest Indiana and leveled buildings in Kankakee, authorities said Wednesday, as another round of rain, hail, and strong winds made its way through the region. Several intense supercell thunderstorms moved across northern Illinois and northwestern Indiana the previous day, including one responsible for at least 4 tornadoes, according to the National Weather Service office in Chicago. The Newton County Coroner's Office said Edward Kozlowski, 89, and his wife Arlene, 84, were killed when a tornado struck their home in Lake Village, Indiana. The couple appeared to have been killed by blunt force trauma, the coroner's office said, and an autopsy was scheduled for Friday. They were wonderful, just really wonderful human beings, son-in-law Steve Rayfield told CBS News in Chicago. You know, tough old guy and sweet old lady. They left behind 4 children, 7 grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. The storm shattered windows, tore off roofs, and smashed vehicles in Kankakee. Wood planks and other debris littered yards, streets, and parking lots. A landscape and garden center was seriously damaged, some parts completely destroyed. Storms also dropped 1 to 2 inches of rain and left piles of hail in the Grand Rapids area in western Michigan, said Alex Mannion, a Weather Service meteorologist in Detroit. Streets flooded, swamping cars with water above their doors in some places. The Weather Service said crews were determining the length and number of tornadoes in parts of Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, and Ohio, remained under a tornado watch Wednesday. Suspected tornadoes last week killed 4 people in southwestern Michigan and 2 in eastern Oklahoma. In Lake Village, where the Kozlowskis died, crews rescued some people who were trapped in damaged homes. At least 70 utility poles were knocked down and many roads were rendered unpassable, Newton County officials said. Please do not come here. Do not try to help right now, Sheriff Shannon Cawthron said in a video shot in front of a destroyed home. Lori Postma, a spokesperson for the Lake Township Volunteer Fire Department, said the storm injured fewer than 10 people in Lake Village, about 60 miles southeast of Chicago and 25 miles east of Kankakee. Cawthron said no other significant injuries had been reported, but search and rescue operations were continuing. U.S. Congress, Senate likely to waive voting bill next week. Majority Leader John Tooney said Tuesday that the Senate will consider a bill to impose strict new proof of citizenship requirements in elections, but say the voters aren't there to pass it through a marathon talking filibuster sought by President Donald Trump. Trump has said he won't sign any other legislation until the bill, known as the Safeguard American Voter Eligibility or Save America Act, is passed, but it faces unified opposition from the Democrats, meaning that the Senate can't pass it unless Republicans change the rules and eliminate the filibuster. Tooney has said there aren't enough votes to do that or to launch a talking filibuster that would force Democrats to hold the floor indefinitely to block the bill. This is just a function of math, Tooney said Tuesday, making his strongest statements yet after weeks of discussion positions among GOP senators. For better or worse, I'm the one who has to be a clear-eyed realist about what we can achieve here. Republican senators are discussing instead voting on the legislation as soon as next week under regular procedure, meaning it will likely fail. Toomey said that Republicans are going to have a fight on the floor and will force Democrats to vote on whether they think non-citizens should vote in American elections. Trump's aggressive effort to dictate Senate procedure has put Toomey in an awkward position, as he has tried to appease the president and increasingly angry base voters, who have called for Republicans to do whatever they can to pass it ahead of the midterm elections. But most Republican senators appear to be backing Toomey's approach. "There's been enough dithering," said John Kennedy, Republican Louisiana. "It's time to go and let the chips fall where they may." Trump has made the Save America Act a priority ahead of the midterm elections, arguing that Republicans need it to win. Even as his party won the presidency and congressional majorities in 2024 without it, federal law already requires that voters in national elections be U.S. citizens. It'll guarantee the midterms, he told House Republicans on Monday at their annual retreat at his Florida golf club. "If you don't get it, big trouble." But Trump's push is running into the realities of the Senate, where minority Democrats can filibuster any piece of legislation and force Republicans to find 60 votes when they only hold 53 seats. Democrats uniformly oppose the legislation, arguing that it would disenfranchise some 20 million American voters who don't have birth certificates or other documents readily available. Republicans could change the rules and eliminate the filibuster to pass it, or attempt the talking filibuster, but Toomey says they don't have enough support within their ranks to do either. Business as usual. Senate advanced bills requiring more insurance for voters, protections for mobile ID users. Springfield. Bills creating new insurance requirements for voters and establishing local pension buyout programs are moving forward in the State House. The Illinois Senate faces a Friday deadline to move bills out of committee for consideration on the floor. While many state lawmakers have an eye on Tuesday's primary election, it was business as usual in Springfield, though many big-ticket items like the state budget will be on the docket later in the spring. The Senate Transportation Committee voted 16-1 on Tuesday to advance a bill that will require boat owners to have liability insurance. Under Senate Bill 2972, the insurance requirement would apply to boats with at least a 50-horsepower engine or that are at least 21 feet long. Anyone who has a boat this length and with that much horsepower on it, that's an investment, and that is not something that is an inexpensive toy or hobby. And I would think that a lot of people already have insurance, State Senator Julie Morrison, Democrat Lake Forest, who is sponsoring the bill, told the committee. This is to cover the people who don't. State Senator Craig Wilcox, Republican McHenry, whose district includes the boater-friendly Chain of Lakes area, was the only member of the committee to vote against the bill. He said he'd rather see revenue from fines for improper insurance go toward waterway managers instead than the court system. This has been Mary Moreland reading the News Gazette Part 1 for Thursday, March 12, 2026. Please stay tuned for Part 2.